This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. I am Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com in San Antonio, Texas, and way up north.
Broadcasting from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, I am Bill Snyder, the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry. Martha, it's once again great to be with you here on Remember You Are Loved Live on Patchwork Heart Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, too. And it's great to continue this Lenten journey. And now we are really around the corner. We are now in the middle of the fifth week of Lent and fast approaching. Or perhaps those who are listening are now already in what would be the sixth week of Lent, which is actually Holy Week. And this is a great time, as we have been reflecting throughout the last several weeks, a great time for us to truly convert, to truly repent, to truly come close to the Lord. And as we've been reflecting, Bill, on the readings, primarily on the readings of each day, which the Holy Mother Church gives us for our good and our salvation, we've been looking at this call that the Lord makes to us to form a people. Huh? And we see, for example, in March, in the readings on March 26th for Thursday of the fifth week of Lent, that the Lord calls Abram and makes him Abraham, the father of nations. And it's God's way of saying, I want to be in a covenant with you. I want to be your God. In fact, that is what he says to Abraham. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's exactly what Lent is about. It's reminding us who he is and who we are, that God never forgets us. As the psalmist says, the Lord remembers his covenant forever, and he's calling us to remember that we are a people of a covenant that God has established with us, the price of our salvation paid by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, as we're going to see on this upcoming Easter Triduum that we're about to celebrate. And there's something beautiful here, because in this reflection here, we see that people break covenant, and yet God does not break covenant. And I just want to point out one thing as we move along from one day to the next. In the Gospel of John on Thursday, it's John 8, and there's this debate going on between the Jews and Jesus, because Jesus says that he, whoever keeps my word will never see death. And they say to him, are you possessed? Now we know you are possessed. You know, even the prophets, you know, have died. And yet Jesus here, and this is something that's important for us to look at as we march into Holy Week, Jesus speaks about realities and realities. There's the physical death, and then there's eternal death. And here he's speaking about the fact that we who believe in him and follow him may die in our bodies, just like he did, but we too will resurrect to the life eternal. To life eternal, and we will not see eternal death if we follow him. And here's one thing I want to say. It's amazing that they said, you are possessed. That's a pretty, pretty big indictment, isn't it? And here's the one thing I want to blame out with words. We are to be possessed, but possessed by Jesus Christ, possessed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Word of God, so that we might, in fact, remain in that covenant that God has established with us. How do you like that possession, Bill?
I love the possession. And in order to be possessed by Christ, we have to almost look at that verse, but right before the gospel that says on that Thursday, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We have to be receptive. Our hearts have to be open to be able to receive God's grace. And if we harden our hearts and we don't prepare them to receive all the greatest riches of the Spirit and Christ at this time of year, at this greatest pinnacle season, then we're kind of lost. So
that's right.
So yes, we must soften our hearts and prepare the way for Christ to enter into Jerusalem.
That's it. And right as we approach Palm Sunday, we have to have very clear who Jesus is. And he says that in that Gospel of John 10 on Friday. I am, I am is exactly the name that God gave himself in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. So no Jew in his right mind would call himself I am, wouldn't say that he is God. And that's exactly then why we see that they call him a blasphemer and that he is equating himself with God. And he gives that apologetics, that explanation of who he is. And he says, if you don't believe me, my words, believe the works I do, because the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And they did not like that very much. And that is the reason why they decided to crucify him. Although we will see also that the scheming has something to do with the fact that they did not like, as we see on Saturday, that more and more people were following Jesus, were beginning to become their disciples. And after Lazarus, remember Lazarus was raised from the dead just a few days before what we now celebrate as Holy Week. And they said in the Sanhedrin that if they allow Jesus to continue saying and doing what he was saying and doing, the whole nation would follow him. Everyone would believe in him. And here's something very interesting. Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesies, not even knowing it, and he says that it is better that one man die and not the whole nation. And that is exactly what Jesus did. The one man, Jesus Christ, who is God and man, one with the Father, and became human for our salvation. He died so that we might have eternal life. And that, Bill, brings us right into the holiest week of the entire year, the greatest week of the entire year, which is Holy Week. Now, why is it called Palm Sunday, Bill?
The entrance into Jerusalem, the people laid palms at Christ's feet. So as Christ enters into Jerusalem, they lay palms and praise Jesus for his great messianic and I want to say kingship, and his recognizing him as the Savior that is going to come and save him. But it's a quick turnaround. We see that from the first gospel. There's an opening gospel during the solemn procession, and then we get to the passion. But, you know, during that opening gospel, boy, do we see it. We see it. This year, there's two options for it. One comes from the gospel according to Mark, and then the other one comes, the other option, it comes from the gospel according to John. And both of them, they are screaming, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're laying palms at Christ's feet because they realize that Christ is the messianic king. He is coming to save his people. They just don't know quite how yet.
Right. And that is a phrase that we say in every Mass, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We don't say it exactly like that, but we say that in every Mass. And here's something that I just want to point out real quick. You know, Jesus was riding on a colt, on a donkey, on an ass. And there's a sort of a joke that goes around that this donkey thought that all this acclaim and all these palms and all this shouting and Hosanna was for him. So don't be an ass. So here's the thing. We need to make sure that we know that any praise that we receive is not for us, but for the Lord Almighty. But as you said, in fact, this gospel, this Mass has two gospels. It has the one of the procession, and then it has the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very long gospel, and it sets the whole celebration of Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, which cannot be missed. Don't miss that Mass for anything. We shouldn't miss Mass on Sundays for any reason, but this one is a special one not to be missed. And to miss every particular thing, it's a very long gospel, and it's actually interactive. We say parts, and the one that kills me the most, pun intended, is when we say, crucify him, crucify him. And here we lay out during Passion Sunday or Palm Sunday the entirety of the mystery that we will celebrate throughout the entire Holy Week, especially the Triduum or Easter Triduum, the Passion of our Lord on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which leads into Sunday. And there's some very important things that each one of us needs to pay attention to. First of all, Jesus is in control. He says elsewhere, my life is not taken from me, I give it freely. According to the design, the plan of God for our salvation, Jesus willingly gave up his life, even though he is sold for 30 silver pieces by his betrayer, Judas. So number one, Jesus is in control. Even when things look like they're not in control, or they're out of control, or God is absent, God is there with us. Secondly, even though we crucify the Lord, even though our sins put him to the cross, even though we many times turn our back on Jesus, Jesus does not turn his back on us. And he is precisely there at our side to redeem us. And he is willing, he is offering his salvation to anyone and everyone who wishes to believe in him. The third point I want to make with this is that even though Jesus himself may feel abandoned and cries out, as we see on Good Friday, and we see it in that gospel on Palm Sunday, even though he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, why have you, my God, why have you abandoned me? He is crying out in the name of all of humanity, because in that same psalm, he also praises the Lord and realizes or recognizes and proclaims that the God who appears to have abandoned him is the same God of his salvation. So that actually should give us great hope as we enter into Holy Week, don't you think, Bill?
Absolutely. It does give us great hope to be able to recognize and know that God can forgive anything as well. He, one of the lines that I look at in the Passion is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And how many times in society, how many times in our own hearts, you know, we don't recognize and realize the gravity of our own sin. We might know that there's something wrong. We might, in fact, we do know that we're doing something wrong. But I don't think we always understand the gravity of what we are doing wrong. And when you understand and you look at that line, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, we realize how much we have sinned.
Sin is exactly what Jesus came to save us from. Sometimes people think that when we talk about mercy, when we talk about love, and we should, because they are central to the gospel. And not only do we have Pope Francis saying that, but we had Pope Benedict say that. We had Pope John Paul II. In fact, he wrote a whole encyclical on God's mercy, rich in mercy. But here's the one thing we need to be thinking about as we enter into Holy Week. Sin separates us from God, and the God of love and mercy has come to redeem us from sin. You might betray him, you might deny him, you might sell him, but if you repent, God will have mercy on you. Judas, we have no indication that he repented. He regretted, which is not the same as repent. We do have Peter denying Jesus in his weakness, but repenting, and the Lord restores him and gives him the office to confirm the brethren in the faith. You and I may walk away from the Lord, but we are being invited always to walk back to the Lord, who gave his back to be beaten so as to have your back, to have you back to the Father for all eternity. This is a rich time of year. This is a time filled with significance, with meaning. Do not miss out on each and every one of the readings, of the mysteries, of the moments in which we will celebrate what God has done to save us for all eternity. In this beautiful Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, we have a preview of all that we should take advantage of during this week. We have the Last Supper being here announced, in which the institution of the Holy Sacred Orders, the Sacrament of Holy Orders of the Priesthood, takes place, as well as the institution of the Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, in which we receive Jesus's body and blood, soul and divinity. We have already the prefigurement of what we will live this coming Good Friday, which is the Passion and the death, the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will lead us then to a glorious celebration of his glorious resurrection from the dead, with which we have been one by one who loves us greatly. Take advantage of every moment, including, for those of you who can, in your diocese, the Chrism Mass, where the bishop will get together with all the priests, with the presbyterate, in order precisely to celebrate the gift of priesthood. Make sure that if you have not been to confession, you do so before the Easter Triduum arrives. Make sure that anything that you intended to do during this Lenten season that you have not gotten around to, you now do during this most awesome and Holy Week.
I've heard priests say, Martha, before we go here, that if you've had a bad Lent, make it a better Holy Week. So, just what you're saying right there. And that's all the time we have today on Remember You Are Loved Live. For Martha Fernandez Sardina, I'm Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.